Everybody, welcome to Face Rocker 89, the official Rocket Jump podcast. I'm your host, Des Dolly. Great show for you today. We've got some friends, John Carmen, Jake Andrews of Ruby Dog Films, my brother and partner in crime, Benji Dolly, are all here. We're going to get into some fun stuff. But before we do, we've got some updates and announcements and some house cleaning things. So first and foremost, we got some new content that came out on Rocket Jump this week. Specifically, the Rocket Jump Film School came out with a couple of new really, really fun and interesting videos. The first being a pro tip on sides. What are sides? If you don't know what sides are, go check out the video at youtube.com/rocketjumpfilmschool. There you'll also find this really fun video for those aspiring screenwriters and filmmakers out there on dull exposition. More importantly, how to avoid dull exposition. How to get the important information across in your scenes while still making it engaging and entertaining. And they've made the video itself engaging and entertaining, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't even feel like you're watching a tutorial. It's really fun and funny, and it's based on one of our favorite movies, Escape from New York. So that's over on the Rocket Jump Film School right now. You guys should go and check that out. Some housekeeping stuff. We do want to apologize that Matt and Freddie have been a little busy and they haven't been around much lately, but we want to assure you that they are very hard at work, and they've unfortunately been very busy prepping Rocket Jump, the show that premieres on Hulu October 21st. They are in heavy post-production right now, putting the spit shine and polish on 8 of the biggest, boldest, most epic action spectacle comedy shorts that you guys have ever seen. So if you're a fan of the Rocket Jump shorts, stay tuned. We're putting together a whole new program of podcasts and live streaming content that's going to plug you right into the behind the scenes making of Rocket Jump, the show. Again, premiering on Hulu and then on rocketjump.com October 21st. Last but not least, we want to thank those of you who subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, especially those of you who leave a review or a rating, those of you who email and tweet with comments, questions, and feedback. I mean, we do this for you guys, so it's really nice to hear from you. Know you're out there. It's a way for you to communicate with us and for us to do the same. So thanks again. And remember, those of you that are watching the video version of this cast on YouTube/RocketJump2, you can subscribe to the audio-only version on iTunes. You want to listen to it while you're working out, while you're running, while you're in the car, what have you, you know, and vice versa. If you're only on iTunes, remember that we are rolling video on these, and we upload these to rocketjump.com and youtube.com/rocketjump2. It's all free for you guys. So without further ado, we're going to get into today's episode, Face Rocker number 89. Again, Ruby Dog Films, John Carmen and Jake Andrews are here, my brother Benji Dolly, and we're all hanging out talking about what happened this last week in pop culture, and then, of course, Fantastic Four being a big box office flop, and then that gives way to a whole conversation on our biggest disappointment at the movies that we were really hyped to see that didn't turn out to be exactly what we expected. And then we talk about, you know, us all being filmmakers, some of our biggest creative disasters. And John and Jake have a couple of interesting stories, and I share one or two myself. So stick around for the podcast. Without further ado, let's get into it. Face Rocker number 89.
Trying to break the, if you're trying to break the illusion.
John, just have John talk shit about what just happened.
John is, John wants.
So what just happened?
Well, John wanted to know if he could smoke drugs is what it sounded like.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, what?
Right now? Yeah.
Yeah, we're really into synthetic weed.
Which is a big thing, apparently,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
K2, we're all about it.
Yeah, dude.
Well, Benji, you're
get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, I'm here now.
You're usually on the other side of the room.
Yeah, I'm usually behind the cameras. We got Chris running the show today.
What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Chris? He's back there waving.
Hey, bud.
What are you guys up to, man? Mans?
Trying to get this done. This is what my days consisted of.
I know. I was just, we were just talking about how I was,
You were how late?
Well, I came 2 hours.
Yeah. Do we get like a cut of the residuals for these podcasts? Like
what when, residuals?
When those
this is a free podcast.
Yeah, we want some of that podcast.
Oh, no, yeah.
John, I can't wait to start cutting residual checks. Like if you think that's gonna be hard, It's not just whatever that
like
day
the second
is.
We have a pile of cash, we will gladly hack it up with all y'all's. But
yeah. I don't know, the Squarespace money. I think that's floating around.
That was a year ago. We did a Squarespace.
Wait, so did just all of the sponsorships?
Yeah, who's sponsoring this? Who's sponsoring this podcast?
Squarespace does have an ad coming up. So we
do they?
We do have one coming up.
So we will have
cut
some
us
of
in.
Need Squarespace cash.
Yeah, so we don't have it.
Cut us off a piece. How about?
I'm saving up for my place in Malibu. Okay, so
we have to get new mic stands. I don't know if you've noticed, but these are also janked. These were got at the bargain basement.
Oh, are these not brand name? These aren't
provided
by.
These are Roundy's brand mic stands.
The Aldi's brand, Target Up like and Up brand
Aldi's
microphone stands.
Speaking of basement, I mean, if people are watching the video version, that's pretty much what it looks like we're doing this in right now.
I know.
It's like a just short of a
well,
snuff
we
film.
Actually, you know, hey, actually, if you're checking out that camera, which I'm pointing at, that background doesn't look as bad.
As you guys,
we put weird trinkets.
Oh, look at that!
History. We got a bunch of, you know, we got those pigs.
You guys built a little
there.
Set.
That's
nice.
That's
I like that. You know, we got a crime scene. You know, caution. Ooh, watch it. Don't cross the line. It's dangerous in this podcast. See, in this area, I didn't do too much. I just wanted to make sure everybody could see our Hell in a Cell that we're building.
Yeah.
In case any of you are wondering, we're having a big Hell in a Cell pay per view here at the office. We're building our own Hell in a Cell. We're going to watch Hell in a Cell
in the cell. This is happening?
Well, I mean, why not?
When is Hell in a Cell?
It's 2 months in September. Either in September or
aren't
October.
They filming that here in Los Angeles?
It's in Los Angeles.
What
so
do you guys?
We should get some of them over to the office to
we
have
know,
mini Hell in a
we
Cell.
Know a guy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what the hell is a Hell in a Cell?
Kid? You don't
is
know what a Hell
stuff?
In a
yeah.
Cell is?
That's what I thought it was.
How do you not know what think about it? What do you think? Just like, off the top of your head, what would you imagine a Hell in a Cell to be?
Some dumb thing a bunch of Jack Joes watch every year?
A bunch of Jack Joes.
Well,
a bunch
maybe.
Of Jack Joes.
That's your opinion, man.
Hell in a
man.
Cell, a.k.a. Satan's favorite structure, is a cage, an ultimate cage, built for a competitive challenge between two beasts.
Two beasts. Meaning you mean two fake wrestlers.
Two performers are paid to enter a set which is built to look like a giant solitary confinement.
It's like a 30-foot-high cage, 40-foot
like
cage.
20, I don't know.
20
40,
foot.
It's like 20 foot.
20 foot?
40 foot cage would be intense. That would be the uncensored 96 triple cage.
Yeah.
But they don't make those anymore.
Oh, like in that movie Ready to Rumble?
Yeah, they made those. They actually Hulk Hogan and Macho Man actually did a real match like that. As ridiculous
that's
as being.
Cool.
When do you remember the first Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, I remember the first Hell in a Cell.
Okay, you don't need to take us down that road. Apparently, I believe you.
Michael's Taker.
Yeah, all right, so it was a recent event. Was it 20 years ago,
yeah,
the first Hell in a Cell?
Years. But it looks like that cage. That cage is actually for safety purposes, but it looks a lot like a Hell in a Cell.
But now
all
you
want to do is dress up.
Yeah, but
like
but instead of, I mean, that sounds fun to have it here, but you guys, we should all try to go downtown.
Heck, yeah.
John, you would enjoy it. We went to see WWE last time they came through town about a month ago. We had seats down by the ring for the first time ever.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was so
you'll
much dig, fun.
You'd have fun.
It's
you'd
fun.
Have, you'd have fun.
We had a good time. We should do that.
John's in.
John's not having it.
Anyways, that's what's happening with my week.
Well, I mean, that's good. Like, we got some new segments today. I told you guys beforehand.
Yeah, see right here.
Quote unquote segments.
New segments.
We're going to try a few things out. If they work, we'll keep them. If they don't, we'll scrap and come up with something else. But, you know, but right now, you know, just doing a little water cooler chat. Hell in a Cell apparently is coming up. I wrote some weird shit down that John noticed that we don't have to talk about. If you want to get the
best one,
let's talk about
just read it out loud.
You
how
just want me to read my
was
bullet
that
point
you
here?
Me who wrote it.
I wrote it. It says Subway Jared the Kitty Diddler.
Subway Jared the Kitty Diddler.
The Kitty Diddler.
That is exactly how it's written on today's rundown sheet.
Well, the idea being.
It's not
you know,
even a question mark, not an exclamation point.
Oh, wait.
Just,
did you see the New York Post
just,
headline?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, my God. Wait.
No.
Oh my God! Okay,
man,
okay, okay.
So while
hold on.
That
stand by. Wait. This
while
will
John's
ha- I'll
pulling
have
that
one
up,
second.
I just want to give the rest of you guys a little context. Since you're on the podcast quite often, something we're trying out. You know, since we're just a couple of bros hanging out, we wanted to bring anyone, the few of you, those out there who may even actually listen and watch this thing, bring you into like our water cooler conversation. We're hanging out at the office. We're on a lunch break or something like that, and we're chatting. This is the goofy shit that we talk about, you know? So we just want to bring you in to
goofy
one of our
goofy pedophilia stuff
I mean,
that we talk about.
In particular,
yeah.
I wouldn't say is goofy.
That's not goofy, but it's certainly one of the things that we're
horrific.
Hanging out talking
yeah.
about when
yeah.
we're procrastinating, not getting any work
terrible,
done.
More like horrific.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
You don't have to talk. I mean, there's
no,
nothing
no.
to add.
No,
just
no. If you're the New York,
hilarious.
If you're the New York Post, you can always find a way to make this fun.
Oh no.
Their headline. enjoy a foot long in jail.
That's it.
Roasted.
That's just it. They yeah. just did it. They just did the Twitter joke on their front page.
What yeah. was the joke I heard this morning? Now Jared's. Jared will still be getting his footlongs for
it's
free.
That's always the joke.
Yeah.
It's the same. Quite clever. It's all about a footlong.
Prison rape prison yeah. is the punchline.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
Prison
let's,
rape
let's,
is never a punchline. Yeah. Let's. I mean, like, screw Jared, but, like, to just be, like, triumphantly, like, bragging about the fact that he's going to get raped in prison is, like, pretty poor taste.
If that's the very first, like, joke you came up with or thought of, like, really quickly, like, odds are. We all did too. It's
an easy joke.
It's a good one.
It's quite easy.
It's just yeah. it's a silver platter.
Subway
it's sitting right
sells
there.
Foot
yeah,
long.
Subway. They got
six inches
of hot salami.
Yeah, hot
all
salami.
The meats
yeah.
you can add.
I was love to see like a side by side comparison of like the offices of like the New York Times and the New York Post. You know yeah. what I mean? Just because the New York Post has always had the most just lowbrow
uh-huh.
headlines, you know, they're
with
just like
Gawker. I wonder what the Perez Hilton Post was. I'm sure he's got something goofy.
Oh, jeez.
We don't have to. I don't want to talk about
I
Subway
just love
Jared.
How it's
you brought it up.
I just love how it's
I was wondering
written.
If you guys.
Hilarious.
It's just one of those things where when we come in the office, we're like, man, did you read the news?
Jared?
Did you read the Twitter? Yeah. Did you hear about Jared? Yeah. We got nothing to contribute there.
No.
I mean, I got stories.
You got stories?
No,
I want to hear them stories.
Yeah.
And his wife divorced him, too. That's
already?
Yeah, she released a statement. She's like,
that happened fast.
Hey, stand behind your man.
Moving along, did you guys hear about the Goonies house?
No.
Did you know that was a thing?
No.
Have you guys even seen the Goonies?
Yeah, of course.
You have? There are people in this office who haven't seen it.
Yeah, Will has.
No interest.
I just found out the girlfriend hasn't seen it, so I'm going to take her to the street food cinema.
I mean, I'm curious to see how she responds to it, because a lot of folks our age do not take well to that film.
Yeah, when they see it, if you see it, like, later
we're
on,
watching,
it's
not a good movie. It's not a really good
bad.
Movie. It has some fun moments, but it doesn't hold up all that well. When we rewatch it, we're watching it through nostalgia glasses, you know.
Best
a lot of people coming into it in their mid to late 20s doesn't work. It doesn't
movie
work.
Kicks ass, dude.
You think so?
Well,
anyway,
well, I haven't seen it. In like
I brought it up
because
the actual house that they filmed in Astoria, it's still there. But apparently, I read it. This is insane. Hundreds of thousands of people still go visit it every single day.
Yeah, they all truffle shuffle in the front yard.
Did
thousands
really?
Of people
like the woman lives
go to
in.
That house a day. What do you? What,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Like
they
a lot
go
of
visit the location. And apparently the woman who owns it, she got fed up.
Because like she'll be in her home,
what did
and
she,
then like she'll look out the window and
she
there'll be some
it.
Jack Joe.
She tarped
she
it?
She wrapped the house in blue tarp and put a sign out front that
yeah,
says,
like,
you know,
hey,
I
live here.
Put yourself in my shoes. I'm sorry, but I bought a house,
so now
spent all this money fixing it up, and then you guys come here and you trash the place. And you leave a mess.
What are they
you destroy
they
the yard.
Having a party?
They're just hanging out.
Kids.
Yeah, they're having a party.
You know?
So she put a tarp over her entire home.
Yeah,
and she's
she
like, "Well, this
home.
Is
how long is that going to last?"
Not long.
I think she's up shit's creek without a paddle.
Yeah,
she should
not
just
work.
Sell it off.
I think so. Someone threw Sesame Street on here. I'll be honest, I don't care.
You don't care?
Sesame Street went to HBO. That you guys seem bothered by that.
Couldn't give a rat's ass.
That's what I
went to HBO.
I mean, I feel like there's something sad about it not being on public
broadcasting
anymore. Maybe there's a story there about public broadcasting falling apart, which would be
well, that's the only
upsetting.
Thing is,
but
is,
I don't know anything about
that's
that.
That's the only thing that's like, well, I mean, like that's in essence why the FCC was created in the first place, was just to make sure that there was still forms of public educational broadcasting for free.
Yeah.
Like if there's going to be this medium of television, like as an entity, we have to make sure there's something for good being done. So like now that, I mean, like you couldn't even watch the presidential debate the other day without having paid cable.
Yeah.
And like now it's like some of these public things are going, since it's all the way of the internet, like that there has to be a new way for
free market, man.
You know, well, I know it's
you
free
market.
You know
what? You had to have paid cable, but it had highest ratings in
well,
in
I know it's free
history.
Market, but I mean, then somebody has to create a new system for everyone to get free informational access then.
I guess. It's Sesame Street. I don't know. Maybe nobody's watching on PBS. Who the hell knows?
I'm not saying anybody's watching. I'm just saying it's a principle thing. Somebody's got to figure that
out. It's a principle.
Yeah.
You put them all in a Hell in a Cell and work it out.
Well, that's what I would like to do. I don't know why you're making fun of Hell in a Cells.
Trailer for The Witch.
Yeah.
He just showed me.
It looks pretty incredible. Frightening.
How good does that look?
Yeah, it's really tough for a trailer to.
So, what do you know about this movie, Benji?
Nothing.
The Witch.
I just saw the trailer like
played
2 minutes
at Sundance
ago.
This year. It was.
I don't know anything about it.
It was the hot commodity. The director won the directing award at Sundance. It was set in the 1700s, just before the Salem witch trials. Story about a family whose baby is taken, and then they leave the town.
I saw the baby get took.
Effect.
But this ain't about like Salem witch trials. It's like, oh, these innocent people were persecuted. This is about a real witch that kidnaps a baby and uses its blood to
not
cast
Wizard
spells.
Wizard of Oz, like pointy nose and a goofy hat, green skin witch, like a real deal.
Is this the witch that Vin Diesel's going after
in The Last Witch Hunter?
Yeah.
It's a, no. Why would no. it? No. Of course not.
Or maybe
it's a prequel to that.
Maybe.
Film.
Maybe
these two films are interconnected.
Is it ends universe? With is this witch cinematic? Is Diesel? This Diesel rich. Witch-filled cinematic universe?
I don't know. It looks like a true blue horror film, man.
Something it looks cool. Yeah. I just saw it.
Our friend Chase has seen it, and he says it's amazing, and Black Phillip, the goat in the trailer, is like the best part of the whole movie.
Why is his name?
That goat's creepy.
Do you see the shot where it stands up on its hind legs?
Yeah.
It's like walking.
I think it's going to probably talk at some point.
Yeah.
Is his name Black Phillip in the movie? Or is that
no, that's the name of the goat in the movie. He's like... Chase was just texting me. He's like, in all caps, Black Phillip. Oh my God, Black Phillip.
He's on the poster too.
Yeah,
it's all about that goat.
I'm just so excited.
Year of the Goat.
Mm-hmm.
Is when goats finally get their
due
in film.
Have they been waiting for it?
Come up and.
Yeah. You know that dog. That dog and the artist had his year.
Now he's dead.
Yeah. Now it's time for...
Wait, already?
Yeah.
Augie's
dead.
Augie's dead.
Dude, that's...
Yeah, that's sad. Wow. I'm going to go watch that again because that looked like a lot of fun. The other...
The artist?
No, not the artist. The witch.
The artist didn't look like fun.
The artist wasn't bad, but I would watch it again.
I might watch it again.
I'm not going to go out of my way.
How did that win Best Picture?
Because of that dog, man.
What was it against? What was that? It was one of those weak years.
Must have been a terrible year.
Weak year, right? Yeah. I don't know. Not weak.
It wasn't a bad film at all, but it was like, that movie? Hollywood just like loves to pat itself on.
It's no Crash, but you know.
The last thing I had under, you know, this past week's water cooler convo is the D23 Expo revealed a bunch of new Star Wars info. Oh. Did you guys see the new Drew Struzan poster?
No.
Yeah, I saw it.
Struzan's the artist who did all the artwork on the original Star Wars posters. Indiana Jones. It was Indiana Jones one.
Oh, okay.
A lot of that early Spielberg, Lucas era, like hand painted artwork. He did the first couple of Harry Potter films. You know,
okay.
It's got that
like
very
someone,
unique style.
Looked like someone photo like it was photoshopped a Drew, is their own Drew Struzan's.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, the composition feels off.
Yeah,
it's a bit strange.
Yeah, so I read online. Someone said that like there was probably like twice as much stuff in there, and J.J. Abrams and his mystery box. Nonsense. Probably like, take that out. We don't want to spoil
it.
We don't want to spoil it.
Why does JJ talk like a goober?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it.
Because look at him. You see pictures?
JJ Abrams' mystery box.
You haven't heard? His whole career is based around mystery boxes, and that's what they call it. It's like, you know, like The Lost, you know, that was like his big breakthrough. And then, I don't know, like for the next like 3 years, anything with like a mystery at the center of it was like had his name slapped on it.
You could do a whole, there are a lot of essays written on his mystery box theory.
Or like the whole time, like they were refused to say who, like what's his name was, Benedict Cumberbatch was in the new Star Trek movie, and like everyone's like, it's Khan, right? And he's like, I'm not saying, and then it's like, it's Khan.
I'm not going to tell you.
He was a petulant 12-year-old.
Yeah. I did see that Struzan, the poster artist, said he watched the new Star Wars film to get inspiration for the poster. And he said flat out, it is the best Star Wars movie. Of all 7 Star Wars movies.
How old is he, though?
Of all 7?
Good question. Judging by his latest artwork, maybe the guy's losing it. I don't know.
What the hell does he know? He's like a gun to the back of his head. It's the best Star Wars.
It's the best. JJ's got a gun.
JJ's
tell
like,
him it's the best.
You go in the box.
You're going in the box. Yeah.
No. The boo box. The other big news is they're doing Star Wars Land in Disney.
It's about time.
Do you guys get excited about that? Is anyone surprised by that?
I'm not surprised.
It's no surprise. Yeah.
They got to do something.
Not surprised.
Go.
Don't weak, care.
Yeah, if we're going for
you guys are so jaded.
I'm not.
I mean, whatever.
I don't like crowds of people. I don't like being like.
So you're not even a Disneyland guy to begin with.
No, I hate it.
I guess they do.
Have you seen Cars Land?
Tarzan.
I didn't even like the film, so I'm not going to go to the...
Anyone who doesn't have a child at Tarzan is highly suspect, in my opinion.
Yeah, but Tarzan is cool.
You went?
I mean, I've been, yeah. Not by myself. But it's cool.
Anyone walking through Cars Land who doesn't have a child. So then you mean anyone?
Like anyone by themselves at Cars Land is suspect.
Dude, I mean, I know they're just.
You didn't go by yourself.
That goes the same for anyone at Disneyland.
Yeah,
but you're talking about like 34-year-old single Caucasian male walking through Disneyland by himself.
Yeah, folks. Yeah, I don't know why I got to call out the Caucasians.
Because that's the FBI profile for serial rapist.
Yeah,
child molester.
It's pretty true. Yeah.
But usually, I mean. A lot of adults hang out at Disneyland.
Yeah, and if I were a child molester, I'd definitely have that. I'd go every day.
Disneyland is probably a decent place to hang out if you're a child molester.
Do it like Epcot, though.
What,
right?
What if this was like a like child molester was hearing this and inspired? Just like,
yeah.
Of course!
Oh, no! Oh,
dude.
I don't know. I have a feeling they've already thought of it. They're disgusting. That's what they do. Anyways, it was.
The guys at the Facewalker podcast told me to do it!
There goes that Squarespace ad.
The thoughts and views of
Don't worry, we got films, boys
are not shared by those producers.
Let's make him squeal. On
Barry's cherries will bail us out.
You say it right. Stop it.
Barry's cherries.
Bill Burr Jr. over here with the ad.
Can we start a competing company called Barry's Cherries?
Barry's Cherries?
No,
Barry's
we're not cherries. Starting a competing company for one of our advertisers. It's the worst idea we've ever had.
You change your name to Barry and make cherries?
Yeah.
You're going to grow cherries and release... It's just sponsor the podcast?
Yeah.
You're not even going to sell cherries?
You're going to sell berries. There's some guy named Barry.
Barry's cherries.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll do
I was going to.
Why not?
I don't know. Again, the Star Wars thing, I got excited for about 30 seconds until I pulled up the article and read that. Like, you're going to be able to taste the blue milk that Luke drank at the cantina on Tatooine. And I thought, that's it. It's the best
you guys
can come up with.
Blue milk on a hot day.
Milk was a bad choice.
Oh, it's blue?
Blue and there's booze in it?
Great.
Sounds good.
Well, there's booze in it.
There might
that.
Be booze in it. Well, that's the big... Because do you know that they do not serve alcoholic beverages at Disneyland?
Oh, so no, they do at Epcot.
That's the whole
they do it
people
at Disney
go.
World. At Epcot Center, they do. At Disneyland, it was like Walt's original dream. Yeah. We're going to create a park. We don't serve any booze.
And no Jews.
I'm about to say the same thing.
And
no
what?
Jews or booze.
It's going to be a utopia. Are you told
the perfect place?
In case you weren't,
Disneyland
you didn't
weird
know,
place, man,
podcast
you
listeners,
it,
Walt Disney was a notorious anti-Semite.
If you're,
that entire company is founded on anti-Semite money.
You can Wikipedia that shit because it's
Google
fact.
It.
Yeah,
if you Google
it's
it,
fact.
Yeah.
You can take a ride through what's it,
Splash
Mountain, and see how racist they were.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Is there any Jews and it's a small world after all? That's a good.
Never been in there.
I think all the little kiddies on It's a Small World are shades of white.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, no, they have, you know, they have races.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Except you.
Well, Jews. I mean, as a Jew's kind of like it's pretty tough to caricature like a Jewish person, like
tastefully,
yeah.
I'd say so.
So do you think it's hard to do that to anyone? Like that's what.
No,
that's
no.
What
well, it's like, well, it's
is,
like, at least in a small world, they have like
the stereotype.
Being a publicly traded company, do you think that there was did they have to vote on that in a board meeting? Like, so everyone's okay with Jews now, right? We can we can throw away the old battle plans that Walt drafted here.
No, he's
gonna ask Roy.
His brain's in a jar, and he's still telling them what to do.
Like Futurama.
They froze his head, right?
Futurama?
Yeah. He said that Futurama
like
show.
Such an Indiana fuck.
Yeah.
Wait,
like Futurama.
Wait, why? Why do I have to be a fuck?
All right, I take the fuck
Dolly,
part back.
The Indiana
I came at you
fuck.
Hard
what,
and sideways.
Indiana represent. Love that. Place.
Indiana's great. I came at you hard.
That show, Futurama.
Yeah, show Futurama.
What's it called?
They got their brain tube on Futurama.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Bears.
Entire documentaries that could be made on Walt's anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Did they touch on that in that Tom Hanks
in the
Hanks
Star Wars
one?
Announcement?
The Tom Hanks
Star
movie.
No.
So we wanted to create a Star Wars land, a universe where all races are finally accepted and we serve booze. The first time ever here at Disneyland, California.
I just imagine, like, the way they're going to do it, if they should do it, would be like an Epcot type thing where it's all the different like lands you can walk into, but in the middle of the park there's the giant golf ball, but instead it's the Death Star, right? You can go inside the Death
you
Star.
You can look up the like concept art. The it thing. Doesn't That'd look anything great. Like that. It looks like it's a single planet. It's supposed to be a hub on the outer rim of the universe, your last stop before going out into deep space. It's a planet never before seen in the Star Wars universe. Oh. It may tie into... I actually don't even think it ties into the new trilogy. I think it's
phase
own
four of the Disney
maybe
Star Wars
it's supposed
movies.
To be its own original creation, and they're going to have no humans. It's supposed to be populated with all aliens,
just Jar Jars,
all Jar Jars. Did you see also at D23? I didn't write this down, but George was defending Jar Jar at D23 all these years.
I hope Jar Jar has a big presence at that.
He was talking about how much he loves him, and he was like, "I based him off of Goofy, and you guys love Disney, right?" So there it is.
I melded Goofy with a racist caricature, and that came up.
I came up with
Jar Jar. Yeah,
John, you're working today for the cause.
Yeah,
dude.
No, I love it.
Standing up,
dude. I mean, we all agree that that's a kind of a racist character, right?
I mean,
there's
a bit.
Weird. That's what them and the. That sort of pseudo Asian, like the Trade Federation.
The Trade Federation.
Yeah, I was just like, dude, like
they went up the ventilation shaft.
Yeah. It's like that's just how you know. That's how you
like half the movie. They're just going,
Jedi.
When you reach a certain level of success in Hollywood, no one is. People are just so afraid to like tell you that this might be a bad idea. You know what I mean? Like, George, you think this might be an importation? No, I came up with this on
Well,
my
you've
own.
Seen the Red Letter Media little mini docs
Good.
On the original trilogy, right? No. He's got this footage. It's probably from behind the scenes on Phantom Menace. You see the first time that they're screening Phantom Menace. All the George is there, the McCallum, all the producers, and they got their heads in their hands, and they're completely dumbfounded seeing it for the first time. And yet no one wants to say anything to George. They're all yes men at that point, you know?
There's footage. There's public footage of people.
Yeah, at the first screening. You should see. It's incredible. Yeah.
I really want to see that.
I also should apologize to you guys because I got a really bad cold and I'm like coughing.
Just got over it last week.
And
man,
sneezing
all, week.
All over the place, especially anyone who may not be listening.
Scoot over then.
Yeah, I'm like sniffing into the mic
I'm
here.
Inoculated.
Do you have strep?
It's just a really bad cold.
I've not had that strep.
I just gave it. My girlfriend has it too. This morning she woke up and she's sniffling.
Oh no!
I got a call from. I left a water bottle in Will's car last night. I took one sip out of it. Left it in the car. Sick. He calls me on the way home. He goes, "Did you leave a water bottle in my car?" I go, "Yeah." Why? He goes, "Gee, God damn it! I just took a drink out of it.
Will.
And now I'm infected.
So contagion.
He's sick too. Before we move along here, and I'm only going to bring this up because I thought it was a pretty clever segue, as you'll see in a moment. Straight Out of Compton. We all saw Straight Out of Compton last week.
We did.
Yeah.
Fun movie.
Yeah.
Big fans of the era.
Love it.
Gangster rap.
Love it.
Or reality raps, as they call it in the movie. Can't you guys like it, right?
Yeah, it was dope.
Yeah.
I was bumping my head throughout the whole thing.
I know. I really want to go see it again, actually.
I'm a big fan. I personally kind of prefer the old school hip hop to. I mean, like, there's good new stuff, but, you know. The old school.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the old school myself.
I connect more with that stuff, you know.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good movie. There are some interesting articles that came out. Like, did you read the Straight Out of Misogyny? Talking about how the movie edited out those guys being actual thugs and gangsters and misogynistic womanizers and stuff
Well, what happened with that woman is really fascinating.
Which woman?
The one that Dre, like, assaulted. The
journalist.
Yeah.
Did you know that F. Gary, the interview that made Dre beat her up was filmed by F. Gary Gray?
What?
Wow. Yes. He was a cameraman on that. And she said that, like, in some, like, kind of, like, public statement, that on the day they filmed that interview, F. Gary Gray took Ice Cube aside, and when he came back, he was all heated up and angry, and that's why he's at the center of what is arguably the most, you know, shameful chapter in NWA's history.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. Very interesting. Sort of pseudo conspiracy going on behind the scenes there.
It was definitely, it's produced by Dre and Cube, so. Yeah.
Yeah, and also MC Ren just kind of is like, I liked the movie, but
Drake,
like it made me look.
Easy's widow, right?
Yeah. So everyone.
She's the one who just looks at the documents for 2 seconds and is like.
Well, the reason one of the reasons why the movie wasn't getting made for so long was A, they needed the rights to all the NWA music, which were held by Easy's widow, and they needed Dre's blessing, and Dre wasn't satisfied with any of the scripts because they were too real. And he said something to the effect of, I don't want anyone tarnishing and pouring water on my hot career. You know, and it wasn't, once they finally took over the project and got a script that portrayed them in a little more positive light and eliminated all the negativity, then it got made. But I mean,
it was a really fun movie.
If you guys want the real story, watch that. Have you seen the documentary Welcome to Death Row? Were we just talking about that?
No.
Who was talking about that? It's on Stars, and you can I think you can rent it on Amazon for like $3 or $4.
Dude, yeah.
Welcome to Death Row was written and filmed by the guy who wrote the story, the treatment for Straight Outta Compton.
Oh.
So he had really done his research over the years and was fascinated with the tale, but they got tons of footage, like actual footage of these guys back in their early days in the studio with assault weapons and what have you.
Yes.
It's really interesting. I brought that up, not only because it was a fun movie, interesting era, but because it was number one at the box office. In 3 days, Straight Outta Compton did $56 million, which was more than Fantastic Four did in its entire first week. $120 million studio tentpole superhero film.
Good riddance.
Brought that up because that movie's a big disaster, and I wanted to talk about box office disappointments today.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys go see Fantastic Four? I get the feeling, judging by how little money it made, nobody saw that movie.
We should go.
Which kind of makes me intrigued to actually go see it.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued, but the more I read about it, it's not even so bad that it's interesting. It's just plain boring. I think I wrote down some quotes, actually, that I pulled off of Rotten Tomatoes, because it's only got 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ones.
Here, like right out the gate, the first one I read was, Fantastic Four is a terrible film. $100 million pinata, deserving of its critical and commercial mauling. In this day and age, things like this shouldn't be allowed to happen. It's just getting a shellacking.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like so indignant. It shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
Who let this happen?
The entire experience is shameful.
Insulting.
My milk duds have soured watching this film.
No, dude,
it's that bad press. That you're right, though, Jake. I agree with you. It's the bad press that makes me want to go see it. Otherwise, I'm not a Fantastic Four comic fan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interest in going to see that movie. I'm not a fan of that dark, gritty superhero tone anymore. But hearing how bad it is, it's got 8%. I want to go check it out.
Did you hear that the director and Miles Teller were literally chest to chest, telling one another to punch? They wanted to get in a fist fight.
Straight come at me, bros.
Yeah,
really?
Come at me, bros.
Yeah.
I've heard lots of stories.
I wish someone was recording.
No, there's a lot of stories going on.
Trank's a hothead, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently. Trank, he had that tweet, that ruined his career.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie probably.
$10 million, they estimate.
The tweet did?
That tweet lost $10 million.
Just in bad press?
He released it the day before it came, the Thursday it was coming out. You know what I mean? He even let it fail before it failed.
Yeah, he came out before. Yeah.
I don't know how you recover from that. You know what you do? You pull an M. Night Shyamalan, you disappear for 10 years, and then you come back, and you make, no, did you see? That killed him.
Yeah,
trailer for his found footage film. Looks like he did half a million dollar found footage horror movie. It looks awful. It looks fucking awful. But it looks like he spent no money. The guy had to disappear.
Made that show too.
Change his name.
He does shit all the time. Still. All
right, no, I don't think so.
He does it.
Yeah,
The Wayward Pines with
that Shyamalan.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Well, shows how much.
No, not Matt. Matt Dillon.
Matt
Dillon.
Damon.
Matt Dillon.
Is the show any good?
It's not supposed to be bad.
What are you telling me? I got to take back everything I just said about Shyamalan.
No, the guy stinks. The guy stinks.
He never he's always been working.
Yeah.
You know, he's never really had that.
He's at that George Lucas level where he can just make terrible crap and no one's gonna stop him.
All right, this is good though. Shyamalan is exactly what I wanted to bring up today. Not Shyamalan specifically, but he's a perfect example of box office disappointments. And I'm not just talking about financial flops, but expectations, right?
Oh well, I mean, Jake and I have a sort of a story. I just so vividly remembered
going to see The Village.
The Village.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I've never been more
coming
excited
off of Signs.
For that film.
Could not wait to see what that guy
the,
did
the
next.
The premise of that movie alone is incredible. The trailers were great.
Trailers
filmed
were
by
good.
Roger Deakins, so this is this epic cinematography. Jake and I were like going frame by frame through those trailers, trying to like just figure out what the monsters look like.
And that cast is incredible. Mm.
Stellar cast.
Yeah.
Incredible.
We get to the
theater. The ad campaign was really great too. Yeah. I was so intrigued to see what was in those woods.
It gets to the theater, and I'll just never forget.
Gotta see
when they reveal that the monster that there's no monster. Yeah,
it's Adrian. It's mentally retarded Adrian Brody.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
Challenged Desmond
is the preferred nomenclature.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I prefer retarded though too. It's more fun. It's more fun to say.
Thank you.
He was a dingbat.
Okay. All right, Jake.
A mental dingbat.
Oh my
that's
god.
The,
all right.
That's the correct.
I can just see. I can
right.
see Benji's eyes.
Benji's
like,
over here.
Delete
I gotta
this.
Edit this.
Timestamp.
Timestamp. Yeah.
That moment, Chris.
Yeah. For deleted. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. It's going up tomorrow. Thanks for giving us the extra time, guys.
Yeah.
You can say dingbat. You don't have to edit dingbat. Since when is dingbat not?
Do you want like a moment of silence so you can have like an edit point?
Nah, dude, it's all good.
Okay. Well,
we get it. We're all trying to be people. We don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry.
I don't think dingbat does it. We apologize, but I don't think it does. I don't think dingbat is one of those hot button words.
What if it is? What if we just do?
I will
like
be
the
first
to
apologize,
dude. People get offended so easily now. They're gonna, you're gonna get.
Yeah, they do.
There's a story like it just spreads.
A dingbat anti-dingbat coalition. Yeah. Gonna
my
shut
aunt
down,
was a dingbat.
Shut down the Face Shocker
really
podcast.
Offended.
Moms against dingbats.
No,
moms against dingbats. That's not. That's not what we're talking about.
No, I once, if we can keep going on this subject.
We can keep talking about dingbats for a second.
No, I mean, I'll stop myself if this is truly going
to
get cut out.
Well, you know what, John? I'm curious to see where you take this. If it
I
shut it down and edit it.
I was giving, I had to give, it was like a I had to tell a story in a college
about
class.
About the village?
No, it wasn't about the village. I'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
I had to tell a story in a... for like a class, a college class, and I said like the word like retarded, and a girl like after I was done and like supposed to give like feedback, like a girl raised her hand and she said she was part of an organization called Spread the Word to End the Word, you know, and she was like literally a head of an organization to not say that word, and I just got called
you
out.
Just happened to
and I just got
man.
Called out in front of everybody, and I was just like, I don't know, I was just like,
you had to do this in front of everyone, dude.
Yeah,
thanks.
But anyway, The Village. I'll never forget the sound of the audience when it was revealed that there was no monsters in the movie. I could just hear everyone starting to turn to each other, and then you could hear whispers. Like people stop paying attention. They're like, "Is this really happening? Like, should we leave? Like, are they serious?"
Yeah.
And then they remember they try to fake you out again by making you think there are monsters again, and then it just turns out just to be Adrian Brody.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just never forget. Like we, Jake and I, were just livid walking.
That's
like
hilarious.
We've never been more.
I had no. I didn't have a great deal of expectations going into that movie, and I ended up just like catching it on home video, so it wasn't as. Horrible an experience it was for me as it was for you guys. Mine was The Happening. I was so freaking amped for The Happening. I thought that trailer was so intriguing. I couldn't wait to see whatever. It's, when you think about it, the trailer's awful. It's everyone slowly turning and looking somewhere. And I'm like, what, are they, what are they all looking at? What is this happening? I took my whole family to go see it.
We all went.
My grandparents were there.
Ew.
We were all there to go see The Happening. I was like, this
Nana
movie's going to be
went.
So terrifying.
That movie, remember
10
the part?
Minutes into it, 10 minutes into it, my grandpa's leaning over the rope, like 15 people long. He's like, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you think this is funny? It was so embarrassing.
It was
horrible. Horrible
movie. Up in Cape Cod with me and my buddy and three black dudes sitting in the front. And 20 minutes, it was right at the part where the woman comes over with the iPhone.
Yeah.
and it shows like that lion tamer like getting both of his arms ripped off
yeah.
by lions.
Yeah.
And this black dude stands up and looks back. Me and my buddy goes, "Man, this movie fucking sucks." Just like that. And we're laughing our asses off, and then he looks at us and he goes like, "Yeah,
yeah."
It's like that joke killed, and then he just sat back down.
I like that he didn't leave. He's like, maybe if I sit through the rest of this, I'll come up with another humdinger,
yeah. Oh,
and I'll zing the audience. Oh yeah,
yeah, they hit most of them.
God, I can't remember. I'm trying to think of what other movies that Benji, you and I had an experience. Do you remember how amped we were for Matrix Revolutions?
Dude, I was so excited. I tried to believe it was good. I lied to myself, like the coming of Christ. I lied to myself for a good 2 weeks after that movie. I was like, "Nah, man, it's great. That movie's
the second or the third.
The third one.
I was literally counting down the days. At least for Reloaded, I was counting down.
I remember
when the
Green Reloaded Warner Bros. House. Finally hit for the third one. I just remember because it was in the trailer. I just remember I was sitting there and I looked at Des. I go, "It ends tonight."
Yeah. Well, like, you know, part of it was we were hoping to like undo some of the misfortune of Reloaded, which didn't live up to the original's expectations. And we're thinking, you know what? But it's like, it's kind of like Empire. It's like a weird movie stuck in the middle. They're going to fix it all in Revolution. It's going to be fucking amazing. They're going to bring it home. And God, that movie sucked so hard. You refused to accept it.
I refused. It took me a while. I was in denial for a while.
Well, how long? Well, what about, I mean, when did you guys see the prequel trilogy, the Star Wars prequel trilogy? Did you see that
came out? But I was pretty young.
Were you young enough?
Yeah, I was young enough for like, "Oh, pod racer is cool."
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
And Darth Maul, I thought Darth Maul was awesome.
But I remember by episode two, we were like old enough to like start ripping on movies. Like that one line where he's like, "I slaughtered them like animals."
Like animals.
Like it was like, "Oh, this Anakin's gets bad." Like it was amazing how bad both the Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen, like, they just just completely screwed up that character on all three films.
Fucked up both of their careers, really, you know, after that.
Do you guys have a story?
Huh?
About the don't you know the guy who plays young Anakin?
Jake Lloyd.
I wish. Someone has a Jake Lloyd story.
Yeah, I have a Jake Lloyd shroom story, but it's through a buddy's buddy, you know what I mean?
So this is allegedly... Allegedly, Jake Lloyd.
Allegedly, Jake. Like, they're all gonna take shrooms, and before they're gonna do it, he's like, "Hey, my buddy Jake's coming over. It's Jake Lloyd from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Please don't mention the fact that he was in Star Wars. He doesn't like talking about it."
Right.
And his buddy's like, "Okay, fine. I won't bring it up." So.
It's like the first thing he says.
Anyway, then it's like him in a room with Jake Lloyd, and they're both like, the shrooms just hit, and Jake Lloyd just turns over, looks at him, and goes, "You know I was in Star Wars, right?"
That's
supposedly that happened.
That's great.
And I hope that...
Did he lead them on a hot pursuit?
Recently,
he led police on a hot pursuit.
Jake Lloyd did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that poor guy.
He's got like a Fu Manchu type.
He looks gnarly, dude. He looks the part now.
Oh, no. Yeah. Why does this always happen to child actors? Yeah.
Well, it's because they get used.
Yeah.
During the part of their life when they're supposed to be taught how to be a good human, they're just being used by a bunch of bad humans.
I mean, also that guy nothing has to learn off of. Like they cast this like pretty mediocre child actor to fill the shoes of Darth Vader, one of the most beloved, like
he was
movie characters of all time.
All the way.
Dude, right?
I will say that.
Turbo
That's
time.
A great film.
Man, I'm trying to think of other movies that really disappointed me.
Me personally, I was
Star Wars takes the cake, you know?
Terminator Salvation did.
Terminator Salvation comes to mind. I was so amped for that. Yeah. Watchmen also, which was roughly around the same time.
Oof.
Yeah. I was so Watchmen
amped
had
for
Watchmen.
A great,
I thought it was going to be the greatest movie ever.
That Smashing Pumpkins song in the trailer.
Dude.
The end is the beginning is the end.
Well,
that trailer was fantastic.
I made the unfortunate choice of taking a girl on a date to see Watchmen.
And I was like so upset. I was like, I read the book. It's incredible. This is going to be amazing.
You're
going to
love this.
You're going to love it. And she was just like literally, I could just feel it halfway through the movie. I was just like, oh, God, what have I done? She's like kind of like glancing at me like, dude, you're done.
Yeah.
This is over.
I was so jacked for Terminator. I was like, they're going to do it. I was like, they're going to fix the mess that was number three. I still hadn't understood that, like, you just couldn't do anything yet.
Yeah.
I was still under the impression, like, there was some way you could save what happened with three. I didn't fully understand the idea that you just... Two is it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Salvation. Terminator Salvation. And that trailer was so badass.
It was a cool trailer, yeah.
It was
a
great trailer.
Rise of the
showed
Machines,
up and,
right?
And that movie
that was three.
That was three. Salvation was
Salvation
the
Salvation was four, with Christian Bale, McG.
McG won. And it was just butt.
Yeah.
Butt.
I wrote down Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Dude, I love Pluto Nash. Because
I knew Benji was going to say he loved it. I just wanted to troll Benji.
I'm going to talk about that. Why is Pluto Nash?
Adjusted for inflation, it's one of the most expensive box office
I mean, it's one of the worst of all time, but I have a blast watching Pluto Nash.
Sci-fi budget with like the hottest movie star of all time and Eddie Murphy and the movie Tank. It was garbage.
Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me because I can put the kid goggles on, you know, and have a ball.
What do you like about it, Benji?
It's a fun adventure.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie's all over the place. You know, he's
all over the place. It's usually not a good thing.
He's all over the galaxy, man. He's all over the galaxy. He's everywhere. It's great. It's great.
All right.
Going back to Matrix for really quick. Yeah. Matrix Revolutions. Yeah. Did you guys notice the hidden crucifix in the movie?
No. Where?
When
I may or may not have. Remind me.
When Neo dies at the end of Matrix 3,
a crucifix of light comes out of him.
Comes out of his chest.
Yeah.
And he's like, when he gets, when the machines like drag him away or at the end, like he's like in the Christ pose. And there's like all sorts of, like, there's all, if you think about it, there's all sorts of weird, like, laced in messages in there, like Trinity, think about that, or Zion, you know,
all of that was handled with a far more deft and interesting touch in the first film. And then by the third, it was all heavy-handed symbolism, right in your face.
Meets Dragon Ball
Z.
It's
no longer subtext.
It was,
you know, interesting metaphorical interpretation. It's just, he's Christ on it with a cross exploding out of his chest.
Oh, you don't get it? Okay, here's a literal crucifix.
Yeah,
this is like that was just so. That pretty much is responsible for any like sadness I currently have inside me right now.
You're right,
the disappointment of the Matrix sequels.
The Matrix sequels and the Star Wars sequels and the Terminator sequels are the bane of my existence.
And The Village.
Shyamalan's The Village, Shyamalan's Lady in the Water, Shyamalan's
The Happening.
The Happening. A lot of everything Shyamalan post.
Just the name Shyamalan.
Post like, Sixth Sense. Most people hate Signs.
Dude, Signs is a ball.
Signs is a fun
Signs
time.
Is a ball. Good.
I'll stick
the
with
first
signs.
Time, the first like time signs. You watch Signs, the first time you see that movie, and I don't want to spoil anything, but that first jump you get in Signs is great. That's one of the best
with
jumps.
Underneath the door?
The kid's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
At the kid's birthday party.
Yeah,
that first, I think that's great. That's a great moment. I think that's fantastic.
It's got Joaquin Phoenix in it. Like, it's a solid movie. Yeah,
Michael Showalter's in that movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
He's the dude who's like... Like, it's the scene where they get across it. Joaquin Phoenix was really good at baseball.
Yeah.
And then you hear, like, this voice, like, he also had the record for, like, most strikeouts. And it's, like, Michael Showalter just, like, ripping on Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. He's the guy at the bar.
We could spend the entire podcast bashing all these filmmakers and their bad movies.
Yeah. But what have we done with our lives?
Well,
exactly.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't think it would be fair unless we talked about our most epic creative disasters, which
personally
I feel like every film I've ever made. So I was wondering if you guys have any really interesting stories about a project, and I feel like I might know where you end up going with this, but something that you thought was going to be like it for you, your greatest creative achievement that didn't turn out to be exactly that.
God, there's a
all
lot.
Of film school.
All basically, right?
Film school.
Dude, remember that vampire movie you tried to make?
Oh God!
Oh, do tell.
Oh my God!
Yes.
I can't remember. Please, you'll have to do it for me because I blocked most of that out.
You had this. I just remember at one point we were shooting at like my uncle's apartment.
Yeah.
And like we needed to get all these shots, and there was this guy in our group who was like, or it wasn't even like my. I just like got the location, but
I like
this
guy dragged you into
who
this
just,
horrible
who
situation.
Just was butting heads with John.
Yeah.
And I remember he was like, he spent like 20 minutes setting up this shot. And John just comes over and picks up the tripod and moves it. And if you could have seen this dude's face, it was great.
Holy hell.
It didn't really turn out.
Yeah, it was like a group project, but I just like took control of the whole thing and kind of just drove us off a cliff, essentially.
I tried to make this really serious / formalistic horror short when I was at USC. It was my fifth film in this class. You make five movies called 290. You watch them. You make them. You got 2 weeks to make the movie, all you and a partner. And I think you're completely on your own. You screen the film in front of your class, and then you have to sit there silently while everyone in your class, I think it was probably 20, 25 people, take turns going around critiquing your film.
Yeah, they shred it.
And you're not allowed to say anything. They're teaching you how to take constructive criticism. Chris is nodding. Chris is taking 290.
Yeah, Chris has been in the class.
It's absolutely brutal, but it teaches you so many valuables. At the time, you're like, this is fucking awful. Why are they putting me through this? But it makes you such a great filmmaker. So for my fifth film, all my films up to that point were getting better and better, and I started getting really confident in my abilities. Yeah. And so I wanted to do like this really interesting, serious story about this Boy Scout who comes to sell like popcorn to this guy at this apartment. He's going through this.
I remember this.
He's going through this rundown apartment complex, trying to raise money so the kids can go on a camping trip. And the guy invites him inside and then molests him and kills him.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I remember this one now. That guy, I can see that guy's face. The actor you cast is perfect.
And I was so pretentious.
Horrifying. He's
terrifying. I was trying to make it so serious, and I don't have a serious bone in my body. You know, like aesthetically, this thing comes out looking goofy.
I can remember the
hell.
Shot in that like closet.
There's
like
cameras.
He's got a wet face. I remember.
I attached cameras to strings. I got like cameras spinning in circles, and everything's like bright red. It looks like it was shot by some Polish cinematographer.
Can I see this someday?
I'll show it to
We've
you guys.
Got it somewhere.
It's awful.
I remember
staying up every night for weeks making all these fake arms. So in his like torture dungeon, you would walk in and see the ceiling is just like covered in dangly children's arms. For some
children's
reason.
Arms.
He was keeping them as trophies.
It was so funny because like, when you're describing that to me, I was like, so it's about this Boy Scout trying to sell popcorn. And I was like, that's pretty tame for a dead.
Yeah, the Boy Scout. The Boy Scout.
Like,
yeah.
And then he gets raped.
And then he gets raped and murdered.
Remember that poor little kid crying in like a ball? As the guy's
just
like
screaming
creeping at him,
murder.
Yeah, dude, I forgot
I just
about
remember
that.
Trying
one.
To direct these adults who I convinced to be in my no pay student film that no one would ever see
to be a molester.
Like now you're, you know, you want to diddle this little kid.
what's my motivation? Oh, well, you want to.
So
you're going to
diddle
you're going to be top kitty
scene.
Diddler.
Yeah, yeah. That was just one of my many disasters. The only one I wanted to bring up.
Man, I remember that one.
Benji and I. Yeah. Shot a music video for a Christmas song that a buddy of ours made.
The ice skating
just like
on the lake.
On a whim. It was called Ice Skating Remix. On the Lake. So the music video
Shout
we made
Sean
was called
Stender.
The Annihilation Remix. And it ended up just being this jihad torture video of this guy being tortured and his face being sliced off.
I don't know why or what, but it was this song, this buddy of our brother's in college who was like, mind you, he was like a monster. He was a couple time All-American, like wrestler, a national runner-up, total beast. And he just decided to make a Christmas song one year. And it's called Ice Skating on the Lake. And he's just singing just nonsense. And he just recorded it for no reason. He was just bored one day. And I was
the
bored.
The funniest
like,
thing we had ever heard. And we had
yeah,
to
make a music I was like, well, let's make a music video. So
we
like,
thought we would play with juxtaposition. You know what'd be funny? We're not going to do anything Christmas related. We're going to do a terrorist torture, like Al Jazeera. Oh,
but we
like,
made it the Annihilation
Jihad
remix.
Video.
It was when Mortal Kombat Annihilation came out. And we just wanted an excuse to hear the guy scream Mortal Kombat. And as during the Christmas song, all of a sudden the guy just stops and you hear the like Mortal Kombat start kicking and then the Mortal Kombat song starts. And the video is us like
one of those, it's
just literally just ripping people's faces
ripping
off.
People's faces
That's
off.
All it
it's
is.
One of those videos where you spend a couple of weeks making it and then your parents ask like, what have you guys been up to for the last couple of weeks? And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing. And you bury it. Like, it's the most embarrassing thing ever. If anyone saw what we made, they would think we were fucked up.
We have it somewhere. It's awful. I thought it was the greatest, funniest thing on earth. And it's like usual, you know, like high school age, you think the idea of stuff being random is funny. You get that confused with like actual like comedic tastes. And you're like, oh, we'll just put different shit in there. It's funny. It's random.
Yeah.
So it's just the dumbest crap just slammed into each other. Yeah,
pretty bad. We've both made feature films that didn't turn out entirely.
Yeah, we have a feature.
Well, mine was a success. I don't know.
Yours is a success?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't turn out to be like that good of a movie, but like we like got 600 people. We got like
made
the
you school.
We got the
school.
School that we made like the school was like erupted over this movie. When we were selling tickets, there was like a like it was mobbed. Like we couldn't like they didn't even form a line. They just like crowded in this like crazy semicircle.
Yeah,
and we were just like handing tickets out randomly. It was there was like we got like the local news to come and report. Like it was
But then your ego got the best of you.
Well,
you made a
best
sequel.
Well,
Well, no, that was the sequel.
The four-hour sequel.
Yeah, the first one was like a huge success because like we just like made it randomly, and then it was pre-YouTube, so it was just like on this DVD, and somehow it was getting passed around from teacher to teacher, and they were showing it to their class, like, look what these like crazy kids made, you know?
Yeah.
And then people were like, asked me like, how can I buy that? And I was just make copies and sell it to people, and so then we were like, oh, wait, we gotta make a sequel, and we. Like skipped, I would like nearly like had to repeat the junior year because I was like skipping so much class just to like film the sequel, and then, yeah, I think I told this story on a previous podcast already. But
yeah,
yeah,
I've seen it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Long story short, though, like we have like a packed house and like the movie, like the movie was 2 hours long.
Yeah,
and the second to last scene, it like fades out,
mm-hmm.
and everyone thought. And the movie was like killing for the first half. You know what I mean? Like the theater was erupting. It was like laughing so hard. But then like the second to last scene, they just like, it fades out. And everyone's so ready to go at that point that people started like getting up, you know?
Oh, no.
And then like another scene fades in. And then the people were just like sitting back down.
Like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King?
Yeah, pretty
six
much.
Six endings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling.
That was definitely the feeling of like, oh God, what have I done?
What have
you
I
know
done?
Yeah. But still, like, we made like special edition double disc DVDs.
That's awesome.
Of it that like completely sold out, you know. So
yeah.
it worked out a long run.
Director's commentary.
It did.
Yeah. We did director's commentary. We were just making fun of everyone.
And then jumping ahead, you guys made Laser Wars. We're gonna
I'm
skipping here for time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people,
I'm skipping your entire careers.
It seems like
It turned out really well.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
thank you.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Rocket Jump 2.
Yeah,
right next to this video.
Right next to this video.
Underneath it, above it.
We're gonna jump into some audience cues before we wrap this up.
Yeah,
a lot of people who subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or watch the video version on YouTube leave us questions, feedback. Sometimes they tweet at us, so we're gonna respond to your questions now, or at least to the best of our ability. So let's jump right in. So Jasper Lewis Riskin asks, hey, a Rocket Jump tweet. What was the most challenging aspect about making the new This Week at Rocket Jump with the return of Chobot?
What do you think it was, Jim?
Having no budget, you know?
It's always a tough one.
Yeah. Just like begging your awesomely talented friends to just do favors for you. And
you're always trying to top your last video, do bigger and better.
Yeah.
With less and less, it seems like, each time around, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys made a dog talk. That
was easy compared to.
That actually was easy compared to.
I think the biggest challenge was Jake's sweat glands. Getting those under control.
Sweating profusely.
You had a hot costume and it's hot as hell out
like
here in
LA
when you're filming.
That day when you were filming, just coming through the back door here with us, you were
so bad for
so
you and
drenched
Ben for having to like hold me.
You were so wet.
It's so like
wet.
You can see that scene too. My shirt is a different color
soaked through
because it's just sweat.
Yeah,
it is disgusting.
Dude was working.
Mm-hmm. All right, excellent question, Jasper. Let's move on. Here's a quick one from
Jasper.
Noah Fennell at Fennel Sauce. Hey, Rocket Jump tweet. Why did you choose to do the Rush? So Noah Fennell's talking about the Rush.
Yeah.
Rocket Jump short too long ago.
Isn't the question a bit longer than that or something?
As why did you choose to do the Rush? Well, that's just because we're fans of the game. We were developing a show at the time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ideas that came out of that development process. We decided to turn it into a short and share it with you guys. See if it's something you dug. That's
not
the reason why we make most shorts. It's an idea we're interested in, you know? Superfan Kevin at KevinAter15 says, hey, Rocket Jump tweet. Any plans on doing any shoots in Austin in the future? Honestly, no, not right now. We don't have any plans to shoot in Austin. Austin's
far.
You know, it's a little far. We got to take a plane to get there. And, you know, filming is difficult enough just when we got to get the gear together and go shoot in the back lot. But we have plans to come back to South by Southwest in the not too distant future. So we'll definitely, at the very least, have a fan meetup. Maybe shoot some podcasts, and we'll let you guys know when we're on our way.
Last one. You pick one of the
two
of these.
Okay, there's two of these from Rohan
Wills.
They're
both pretty weird.
At Rohan W. Which one do you guys want to go with?
I don't think anyone really knows enough about Attack on Titan to comment on
that. Okay, we'll go with the first one. Man, if you had the choice to be immortal or have ultimate power, which would you pick?
Immortal. I'd gain the ultimate power.
Through being immortal?
through a couple generations.
So you're saying the ultimate power is immortal.
What is ultimate power? That's vague.
Well, you need to define ultimate power.
Well, what would you define it? I define ultimate power as immortality.
No,
you could die. You could die.
What?
You're not immortal. You are mortal. With ultimate, you are ultimately powerful, but
ultimately
mortal.
Yeah,
completely
you're
mortal.
Jacked.
You could,
overload lasers.
It's a hypothetical. Go with us here.
You have to make a choice. Right. You fuck.
Whatever. When you're immortal, you live forever, but you just keep getting older and more shriveled. You know what I mean? To the point where you're just
like
this walking raisin.
Oh, well, then
you turn into
and you got to watch all your friends die around you. You may not have money. You may be living on the streets forever.
Well, but you might live long enough to get like a serum that just like makes you young again. So if you just like hold out for a while.
Hold out for that serum.
You
can
just
golden,
be a god.
Baby.
You can essentially be a god, and then they'll just be able to give you ultimate power.
Well, I mean, if you have that ultimate power, you could use it to get this ultimate serum. You're talking about, right?
Maybe not. Let's assume no.
So the ultimate power leads to the immortality.
No.
So then I want ultimate power.
Let's say it doesn't.
Isn't the ultimate power knowledge? What if I learned how to create my own serum? Then I don't need it, right? Then I want
like
ultimate power.
You're
I want the ultimate
answering
power.
The question
you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
And you can't. You have to choose.
Because it's
either the
they
cake,
feel like they're one
would you
the
rather
same.
Live
mortality
forever
is the ultimate
it.
Power.
Do you want to live forever or just have a lot of power?
I'd go with ultimate power. Because I'd rather have, you know, be on top of the mountain than you might be a immortal Jack Joe your whole life. You know,
you can't be an immortal Jack Joe your whole life. As long as you keep like a piggy bank for a couple hundred years, just putting in pennies, with immortality, you get that power. Just take some time. Ain't going to be no Jack Joe.
That's why it's not an easy question.
I'm going to go with immortal. I'm scared to die.
I am too.
No one knows what happens when you die.
I am too.
It could be if hell is real. I'm going to, like, stave that crap off.
But, like, forever? Forever.
Yeah.
Like,
guys,
beyond, like, Earth explodes.
It's too...
I'm just floating
it's
through
too
space.
It's early for me to handle all this.
Floating through space by yourself forever.
Stabbing myself furiously, but I can't. It doesn't
you, like,
work.
Get sucked into a black hole, and then you're stuck there.
And then I go to another
there's
dimension.
Too much gravity.
And I meet
sexy green
aliens, and then I'm like, they're new king.
You're stuck at the event horizon watching yourself spaghetti? Because you know that's how it works.
Yeah,
if a person were to
get out of it,
you can't get out, you just get spaghetti.
Pull, but you don't die either. You're just
spaghettified
for eternity.
That's like a real term.
You're stuck
like
in that white room.
If a human were to go into a black hole, you would for the rest of eternity watch yourself.
You're the star baby at the end of 2001.
You would turn into actual spaghetti.
Yes. And your chemical makeup turns
you.
Into
turn into
this,
Buca di Beppo. Yeah. Spaghetti.
Buca's favorite classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Wait,
dish.
That'd be great if black holes were created by like an advanced race of Italian aliens
to make spaghetti.
They're out there. They're out there just working.
You turn into a brick.
Dude, that sounds fantastic.
All right. That's a great question. Rowan's got a lot of... Rohan, I believe it is.
Rowan. He tweets me a bunch. He sends
John's
a bunch.
Like, who here has questions. Seen a frame of Attack on Titan?
I don't.
No.
One of you.
I've only seen the trailer
what is
for
that?
The live-action movie.
Sort of cartoon?
Yes.
Cartoon
Spendy
bullshit.
It is.
God. Some sort of,
so dismissive.
Is that some sort of a cartoon?
I did it on purpose.
You're even wearing glasses, but you're like looking down at them, John.
Well, you know,
I haven't seen it.
Some nerd
I haven't
shit,
seen it.
I got 3 hours every Monday. Goes to Raw. I don't have time for this.
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah,
sounds
I watch
like
porn.
You're squandering your free time.
Attack on Titan shit.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Oh, anyway, John,
prep
why
for SummerSlam, man?
Why?
I don't think anyone. I mean, some people may have seen Attack on Titan.
It's on Sunday.
That's a huge show, right? A lot of
it's
people
a
like
huge
that.
Anime show. Therefore, it is
still
niche.
So it's, So I mean, you're bringing it up because Roman's other question was: I've been thinking, which type of Titan is better, the mythical Greek Titans or the ones from
Greek
Attack
Titans?
On Titan?
Game
I don't
set
know enough
match.
About the Attack on Titan Titans,
Greek Titans,
but I do know mythical Greek Titans have a lot of awesome powers.
The Titans were even more awesome
such
than the
as
Greek gods,
ultimate power and immortality.
Yeah, the Greek Titans are
so you
gotta
unstoppable. You got to go there. You
like
go
Zeus?
There.
Are we talking about?
No, Titans are the level above Zeus. Like, there's the gods of Mount Olympus, and then there's the Titans who rule the galaxies. The Titans are.
So, what power do they have?
Ultimate.
The
power.
Ultimate.
Denzel in Remember the Titans gives that speech before a game.
How they need.
They
ultimate
ruled
power.
Their kingdoms with ultimate power. Let's play like Titans
so
tonight, boys.
You have your answer. There
make
you
them
it.
Remember the Titans.
All right, wrapping up, guys. Wrapping up.
Those podcast brought to you
those,
by
no,
Barry's Cherries.
Barry's Cherries.
Thank you very much for your questions and feedback. Again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and follow us on @RocketJumpTweet.
tweet at us, email Benji where, and they can, and you'll find the questions, and we'll read them here on the podcast.
Yep, we're going to be twitching too, twitch.tv/RocketJump. Yeah. We're going to be doing that all day, every day. Laser Wars over at This Week of Rocket Jump on Rocket
we're
Jump.
We're going to do a live stream of Jared's trial. So we're going to live stream that, you know,
Jared,
live
the Subway
commentary.
Kitty Diddler.
Yeah.
From your favorite YouTube filmmakers on.
That'll be great. We'll have live commentary during prosecution and defense.
Yeah.
And before we get out of here, you guys got any one last thing I always want to ask you from now on when we have friends on the cast. What are you playing? You got any good late summer game recommends?
Oh, dude, it's all right.
I've just been practicing
Smash.
Practicing, really?
Smash. I'm just waiting for everybody to get back
now that
Mario Kart.
It's coming back to the office.
Yeah. I'm ready to just
Smash
kick everyone's
joke.
Ass.
Smash is a joke.
Smash is a joke.
Oh, I have a good recommendation.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is... hopefully with your parents' permission, if you're, you know, but if not, if you're old enough, just download it. Don't look up anything about it. Sonic Dreams.
Okay.
They unearthed that someone hacked into the Sega Vault and found unreleased Sonic games, and that's all I'll say. Just download it. It's for free. I'm telling you.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Sonic Dreams.
Except for the whole, like...
It sounds cool, but
it's the whole theft idea.
Okay, is this like a not-safe-for-work situation?
Yes, it's not actually...
Is it porn? What is it?
What are you telling people to do? Are we going to get in trouble? It's like an internet prank of some kind. Just
go for it. Don't do that, then. Why would you tell our listeners to go get pranked?
Don't prank the listeners?
You don't like getting pranked?
Is that like a virus?
You can't do it on our cast, though. You can't, like...
It's not a virus.
Trick people into, like,
getting...
Everyone's
going to unsubscribe.
Yeah, it's ruined.
It's ruined. So, all right, so Sonic, if you're not at work and you want to play John's little game, go check out.
I just thought it was very funny. It's surprising and it's dark and twisted and messed up, just like this.
Dude, I don't know what he just told everyone.
All right, well, Benji won't be checking it out. I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
you guys, thanks for coming by.
In trouble.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Always good. Well, not coming by, like we work together. I see you guys every day. So
yeah,
thanks for hanging out on the podcast. Hey, Chris, thanks for recording.
Yeah, Chris, you're the man.
Appreciate it. Benji,
Chris Wah,
thanks for producing.
Yep, no problem.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.